Welcome to the Awakening Conversations podcast, where we dive into the many aspects, challenges, and life-changing lessons that are part of our spiritual awakenings. Through conversations, we are looking to bring you wisdom and perspectives so that you feel more supported and connected as you navigate your own awakening path. We are your hosts, Kate McGee and Amanda Richardson-Meyer. We've both been through our own unique awakening journeys that have changed and transformed our lives. And through these awakening conversations, we will be growing and expanding alongside you. We're so glad to have you join us. Let's dive in.
Welcome.
Welcome back to the Awakening Conversations podcast. My name is Kate and I'm here with my co-host Amanda. And today we're going to talk about the Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni situation. While this might seem like another celebrity drama, this is actually a mirror for us that is a representation of the masculine and feminine energies that are being exposed to us within the collective and a powerful opportunity for further awakening and healing within this realm. It's a great example for us in the world of the imbalances that have happened through certain and recent movements, which we're going to unpack. We're going to look at how this is part of our own healing journey. It is a great example out there in the world for us to look within and do our part to bring these masculine and feminine energies back into balance. Amanda, looking forward to unpacking this topic today and really expanding how what we're seeing playing out in this celebrity world is actually or has a very big spiritual impact, or it can be seen, we can see it very much through a spiritual lens. And really, it has got something to do with us. It's not just two celebrities, you know, having a very public row. It's an example for the awakening and the healing work that is happening on our planet right now. For those who may not be fully up with what is actually going on with those two, although it may be hard to miss, do you want to just break it down for us? What has happened with these two? What's the actual situation? And then what are the things we're going to start to look at in terms of the spiritual lens of this situation?
Yeah, so I'll try to be succinct. And there is this, it's ongoing. It seems like every week or every few days, there's something new with this case if you're following it. I don't typically follow celebrity stuff, but this one has caught my eye. And it is quite interesting because I do feel like it's part of a reckoning, a correction, I'd say. And so, from as I understand it, and from the evidence that I've seen, I see it as Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni starred together in a movie called It Ends With Us, which is about domestic violence. I didn't actually see it. You saw it, right, Kate? Yeah. And he was also the director. I want to say this was his directorial debut. He bought the rights for this film and the sequel to this film. And so it was a big deal for him in producing this film. And I never knew who Justin Baldoni was prior to learning about this situation, but apparently he is a sensitive guy involved with a lot of work around healing masculinity, around being aware of his role in supporting the feminine. And so it seems quite interesting that all this happened to him. But he basically was involved with making this movie. Blake Lively was his co-star. And from what it appears, she began to take over a lot of the processes of the movie that she wasn't entitled to in terms of her role as an actress. And so she started rewriting scenes. I believe it seems like her husband, what's her husband's name?
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds. He was involved in that process. And then it got to the point where at the debut of the movie, Justin Baldoni wasn't even allowed to be there. He got put in the basement. Literally, him and his family were watching it from some basement. And so basically, it appears Blake Lively turned a lot of people against him. And it appears that a campaign was made against Justin Baldoni to tear him down. And this came out in allegations of sexual harassment by Blake Lively against Justin Baldoni. And this came out in the form of a New York Times piece that basically smeared him and really hurt his reputation. And then I don't have all of the timeline straight in my mind, so maybe some people might correct me. Feel free to in the comments if I'm getting things. I'm trying to do it more generally than super specifically. However, that piece was run, and there have been numerous lawsuits that have resulted from this initial action. And Justin Baldoni did not back down. He got an attorney that fought back, I'd say, pretty hard, rather than just like, oh, you know, disappearing from public life and, you know, I've been disgraced. He decided to, I'm going to fight for my reputation. And so this lawyer, his name is Brian Friedman, he created a website that basically put all of the evidence, the receipts online for people to read in terms of all the claims that were made in terms of allegations, specific allegations that Blake Lively made. There were text messages to counter argue those claims. And so through all of this has come through online investigators. And so we'll see what really happens if they actually go to court. Oh yeah, they're in the process of doing depositions. And so it seems like they are moving to court, but we'll see what comes about through that process. And that will be the ultimate tale. But it seems that at first there was a lot of support around Blake Lively when this initial allegation came out. You know, everyone jumped on the support all women bandwagon. I support Blake Lively. And as things have unraveled, that support has slowly waned. And there's only a very few people that are still on the, I believe, Blake Lively side. And so tell me if that story made sense, or are there any details that I think I need to fill in to complete that?
No, I think that makes sense. Yeah.
Hey, this is Amanda. I am recording this part the day that we are supposed to be publishing this episode, which is Monday, June 9th. We recorded this episode a few days ago, and something interesting came out today that is relevant to the situation with Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni. This isn't meant to be a deep dive into what that is, but just to mention it, because those of you that are listening to this might know the new situation that has arisen today. And if you haven't, it'd be good just to have a sense of what has changed. I will preface by saying that I don't believe what has happened today changes what Kate and I have discussed during this podcast episode. We still believe that this represents a shift in the collective energy and what's coming to the surface and coming to light, and also an important representation of the masculine and feminine dynamics that are at play here. So what happened today was that the judge in one of the cases, the case where Justin Baldoni is suing for defamation against Blake Lively, Ryan Reynolds, the New York Times, and some of the PR representatives of Blake Lively. And he basically has thrown out that case with prejudice. So this means that, at least within the courts, as of now, Justin Baldoni, we can quote unquote say that he lost. However, there is potential for an appeal to happen. I'm already reading some stuff about some problems with this judge and having some conflicts of interest, but we'll see what time says about all of that. As I mentioned, I don't think this changes our share in this episode, as despite him potentially losing this lawsuit, there's a very good chance that Justin Baldoni's lawyer pursued this lawsuit knowing that there was a good chance that he would lose because defamation is very hard to win, especially in California where this lawsuit was pursued. However, even if he does lose in the court system, which that would be unfortunate from my perspective, but even if he does lose in the court system, through pursuing this lawsuit, he has brought eyeballs to the situation through sharing of the evidence that he has to clear his name. And I think what those of us have been paying attention to this situation have seen is that this situation, as I mentioned in the episode, this situation has gone from many being on the side of Blake Lively, believing her, speaking poorly about Justin Baldoni, and through the course of many, many months and evidence coming to the surface and people looking at Blake Lively and her past track record, they've seen that her complaints have not matched what is available in the evidence. And of course, people can state that the available evidence does not necessarily prove that she's making this up or he's not at fault. However, from my perspective, I believe that if Blake Lively had evidence to support her claims, she would have made that public. Anything to win her case in the public court of public opinion, she would have done as well. So she had an equal opportunity to put things out there to support her side. And what I've seen as far as what's been available or what corroborates her position is very limited. So that's all I'm going to say about this. You can find more information out there on the specifics of the situation. And I imagine things are going to continue to become more clear as this situation unravels. But I just wanted to leave you with that piece. And I'm going to pass it over back to our episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what I want to say here is that why I feel this case is important on a collective level is that I think there have been many Justin Baldonis where someone wanted something and did not get it, or something there was a slight or something happened, and in retaliation, this movement that we had, you know, we'll talk about Me Too movement, like it was a correction from the dominant masculine energy that once dominated. And then Me Too came in and made blanket statements about believe all women. And I think what happened in the process is that there have been men whose lives have been ruined as a result of this blanket believe all women mantra. And what I think this is exposing is that we should believe people that bring allegations if there's evidence to corroborate it, not just believe all women regardless, because that is dangerous and it can be weaponized. And I think that's what this revelation is bringing to the surface, is that men and women can both be the oppressor, the dominator, the person that tries to take another person down. And if we are on either side and strongly in one way or the other, there's going to be problems. And so I think this is the pendulum swinging back more towards the center, where people can see the kind of like how behind the scenes of what could happen with a smear campaign, and allows us to be more nuanced in how we navigate these situations.
Yeah. So thank you for bringing that intro in and helping us really understand, or for those who aren't up to speed with it, what really went down. And first thing that I want to say here is that what we want to chat about today isn't so much about, you know, the man versus women. And what we're really looking to go beyond here is that, you know, women have been oppressed in the past, and we're moving out of that into more women's liberation. But what we want to look at is the energies of that, that being that we've been in a patriarchy or a patriarchal society until recently, very much led by masculine energies, and that we are moving into a more feminine energetic time, but that within those two senses of energies, there's a healthy expression and a wounded expression. And what you really said there was that we've come from a very wounded masculine energy time. The Me Too movement came in and gave voice to women. Unfortunately, what's happened, and we're seeing through this particular example, is that that has swung out, as you said, this pendulum, because we've gone from, you know, one extreme, but for anything to correct, it must swing to the other extreme. But what we've seen play out is that as it has done that pendulum swing, it's the wounded feminine energy that's really kind of swung that pendulum out. And so in this example, we're seeing where it's the timing for us, and especially as you said, Justin Baldoni, him in his own life and the way that he has, you know, navigated himself is very much, or it seems to be, an example of the very healthy masculine energy. One who is an advocate for, I think he's an advocate for, like, I don't know if advocate's the right word, correct me if I'm wrong here, but like, he's against domestic violence against women. So he's been very vocal about that. He's received awards for his work in support for women in that arena. So, you know, we were talking, you know, last week about the Aubrey Marcus situation, and we were watching, you know, the dynamics of masculine and feminine energy there in potentially the unhealthy expressions. And here we are this week with this example of a man who, by all, you know, accounts, is acting very much from a healthy masculine expression. And then we have him in this really kind of extreme situation where, you know, these massive claims that really seem against his character from how he has seemed to have lived his life. And as you're saying, what we're seeing here is this wounded feminine energy at play. And it's important because it's a part of the awakening. It's a part of this collective shift we're going through to see this at play, because it's a great example for, or an opportunity for us to do many, many, many things, because that's what the awakening is all about. But it's a healing process, right? It's an opportunity for us to see it out in the world, see where the dynamics and the power structures are not working, and then reflect that back into to ourselves and our own lives to be like, well, for us to truly correct this pendulum swing, as you said, and bring it back into a greater harmony and a balance between, you know, masculine and feminine, for us to really have a strong center of, you know, men and women, and these masculine feminine energies that exist in all of us, it is about us looking at these examples and then reflecting it back into our own lives. And how are we displaying within any gender a healthy or unhealthy masculine or feminine energy? And where can we do our work and our part to correct that imbalance ourselves, to contribute that, you know, more aligned masculine, feminine back to the collective? Because, I mean, for me, that healing we do is a ripple effect for this greater collective shift we're going through.
Yeah, very well said. I think speaking to that wounded feminine, I feel that, you know, we all have work to do, both in seeing our shadow and how these energies manifest for each of us. And, you know, as I was thinking about this podcast today, I was thinking about, like, why does this matter to me? And what came up for me is that I used to consider myself as a feminist in what I thought that was. And as the Me Too movement rolled out and I had a toddler son, and, you know, at first I thought the Me Too movement was a good thing. I thought it was going too far, and I thought it was painting groups of people with broad, generalized strokes. And the concept of the patriarchy was becoming much more readily discussed. And I saw the animosity towards men grow. And while I did used to consider myself a feminist, it was never I never hated men in that desire to be a strong woman. And as I was observing the Me Too movement play out, and I had a toddler son, and I felt this hatred towards men, to me, there was no way that I was going to implant that energy into my son to raise him to feel shame for being a male. And so then that started, you know, causing me to question more, do I align with this? And as time went on and I felt this animosity towards men grow stronger and stronger, I realized like I no longer actually identify with what feminism is today. You know, maybe an older version, but I also even kind of question that as well in terms of, you know, I think part of my, I needed to heal my feminine also to, because I think I was living more in the masculine and that desire, which I think the feminist movement does. It, you know, it doesn't support embracing our femininity. It pushes us to try to be equal to men, which to me, that's still shunning the feminine if we can't celebrate what it means to be a female or have feminine energy. And so, yeah, so it's been an interesting process for myself. And, you know, the idea that my son could be falsely accused of something and have this be weaponized against him, it made me change in terms of, is this really a healthy way for us to move forward as a collective? And I think what this situation is showing us is that there is toxicity in both men and women. There is healthy realizations in both, and it's up to us to be more nuanced, to be more discerning, and to not fall victim to the narratives that can be created. And so what I think this might do is, you know, show women who might consider, you know, I think when we have this blanket statement of believe all women, that gives women a free pass to do what they feel called to do if they are in the wounded feminine or, and so this is an example of, hey, think about it before you try to ruin the reputation of another human being because you were slighted or whatever the reason was behind this whole chain reaction of events that occurred here.
You know, and as you say that, you know, I can imagine people wanting to say, you know, oh, but women, you know, what women do go through, and, you know, this is not to discount that, how challenging it can be to be a woman in this world. But really what we're talking about here is the energies within us. So it's not that men versus women conversation. But then within that, I really wanted to get everyone to stop and pause for a moment to really broaden what you're saying here about how, you know, this Me Too movement can swing too far in a really unhealthy direction. You know, when I think back on my own life about the women that I've known or women I have encountered or women that I have met through male friends, that then their, you know, female partners, the witnessing of the wounded feminine energy that we can see within people and that we know. Now, wounded feminine energy can also exist in a man, but for the purposes of what we just discussed there, thinking about it in terms of how us as females may hold that wounded energy within us to, you know, unfortunately ruin, for this movement to then cause harm rather than to be something that is helping. I think we can all think of a woman that we've met or experienced at some point in our life who has displayed this wounded feminine energy towards men we have known in our lives. That manipulation and then some of that, you know, I've got something here. Let me just find it. But this, if you loved me, you would, you know, sort of this passive aggressive communication to them. And also I think the way I've seen it displayed through women is the sort of use of the sexuality to keep a man around or, you know, I just can remember as one incredibly, probably healthy masculine man and this very unhealthy, wounded feminine, and just the sheer manipulation that went on in this relationship that, you know, he would always just crumble to. And everyone has their path. We say this all the time. But, you know, this isn't about, again, as I said, this men versus women, men are bad, women are good. You know, it's not that simple. It is really about the inner experiences of these energies and qualities within us that we need to begin to look at and heal and correct. Because, I mean, for us personally, it changes the experience of our lives. And it's really quite incredible to see the amount of men really working on their wounded, you know, masculine, because I mean, let's be frank here and say, okay, for the most part, the women are going to hold the wounded feminine and the men are going to hold the wounded masculine. But again, it's not this black and white men and women situation, but really how that's changing how men are. And again, to refer back to last week or the last 2 weeks when we've seen Aubrey Marcus, that's been a big challenge that's arisen in many women, is seeing how this man didn't hold his woman, didn't make her feel safe, you know, and some of that wounded masculine energy that was present in someone who looks extremely, you know, masculine, and someone who says he's going to be there to support her through it all. And, you know, that breaking of that vow. So, you know, I just wanted to expand that there of like, that's where what we're really kind of trying to focus on here. And then to expand that to that, what we're experiencing right now as we are going through a frequency rise here, where it's happening on the planet, that's part of the experience we're having as energetic beings. So this shadow and what's under the surface is coming up for us to see. So having all of these things being presented to us through celebrities, influences, governments, all of it, it is the literal process of change and rebirth that we're going through collectively to create something new. And so as disturbing as these things can be, or, you know, as annoying as they might be or whatever, it's for us. Like, it is just a mirror reflecting back to us the things that exist in this world that need to be changed. And how do we change them? We start with what we hold within us that is a reflection of those external energies.
Yeah. So I think as we witness, we can see what's coming up within us. And also, I think it's not about villainizing Blake Lively, and it's not about idolizing Justin Baldoni. It's about observing, and they're on display for us as to be that mirror for us to see what arises within us. And what arises within us is for us to work on and play with and ask questions about where does this come from? Because we all have, you know, we have stuff that, you know, comes from our parents, those primary relationships that showed us what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman. And so, you know, regardless of our parents doing the best that they possibly could do for what they received, there's likely unhealed trauma, that wounds that we received that were modeled for us. And they're oftentimes unconscious to us until something triggers something within us, so we can begin processing and coming to acceptance with. And so, yeah, whatever is coming to the surface is an opportunity for us to clear those energies from our bodies and from our energy template. And so, I mean, it's quite interesting and kind of ironic, the topic of the movie, that it's about domestic violence, and he played abuser, and, you know, the irony in that, right? And then it's kind of on a higher perspective. It's like we're all kind of playing these roles in this game of life, right? Mm-hmm. We agreed to play the, you know, to some people we might have more, when we're unconscious, maybe some more of that wounded manipulatory energy that we're unconscious of, and we're here to release that and see it and clear it. And it's like, where in one's life, did maybe you demonstrate some of those qualities? And, you know, doesn't mean that you're that same person now, and doesn't mean that you're not going to be a better version of yourself down the road as well. And so, yeah, this is really what we're, the work that we're able to do through observing this.
And I just want to share what those qualities are of what's healthy and considered within the energy of the wounded masculine energy, just briefly. There's a need to be right. Trying to control outcomes and other people, shutting down emotions, be it others or their own, overworking, proving, chasing status, using force, physical, verbal, emotional, to dominate, dismissing or belittling intuition and emotion, and viewing relationships through power over dynamics. And even as I say that, like, you know, as even as a woman, I can, you know, sympathize with or witness within that description some of my own behaviors over the past. So, you know, while it's a masculine and wounded, you know, trying to control outcomes. I mean, who hasn't, right? It's part of the experience of what is within us. That healthy masculine energy is about acting from clear purpose, grounded leadership, holding safe space for others without controlling them, healthy boundaries, speaking truth with compassion, taking aligned action, not being reactive, discernment and clarity in decision making. And then the wounded feminine energy is emotional manipulation. And that example that I gave before, if you loved me, you would. Passive aggressive communication, victim stories used to gain sympathy or control, lack of boundaries or enmeshment, collapsing into helplessness to avoid responsibility, over identifying with emotion, no anchoring in truth or action, externalizing power, waiting to be saved. And then even in that, I can think of even male people that I know who have expressed some of those qualities of the wounded feminine energy within themselves. And then that healthy feminine energy is deep empathy without self-sacrifice, embodied intuition, creative flow and inspiration, authentic emotional expression, co-creation and collaboration, receptivity with discernment, and a capacity to hold complexity and paradox.
Yeah. And I imagine, you know, I can relate to some from every box that you mention, whether, you know, from my past. And, but, you know, we're all, until we begin, we learn through our experiences, we see how displaying some of those energies, how that works out for us. And through the mirror of our lives. And hopefully, if we're aware and we're conscious, we're shaping our behavior to do better, right? Mm-hmm. And I hope that through this all, that Blake Lively, you know, I don't know if someone's truly, are people truly narcissistic? Can they, you know, I feel like we're a spectrum, and I imagine that people can, if they're meant to in this lifetime, they can reflect on their behavior and choose something differently. That's my hope. You know, I hope that people can, yeah, I imagine it's harder when you are have a spotlight on you, right? Yeah. But it would be my hope that people can heal and, going through something like this on such a public scale, it's like, how can you not start to self-reflect? And I would imagine, like, how do you not, when so much externally is being said about your behavior? I imagine, you know, either you just like tune it out, or maybe you have a real like come to Jesus moment where you start to ask, like, what did I do to create this situation that I imagine what feels like a shit show to have all of these eyeballs on you for create what seems like she created this story. And it's almost like she thought she could get away with it, but she was caught, and and hopefully it's for her own growth as a human soul to, she's playing this role on a collective level, but then it's like, how does this shape her in
the path that she lives going forward.
Yeah. And then, you know, even as I was reading those qualities, like it made me think too that, like, outside of just this situation and, you know, looking at balancing these energies within ourselves, like this is the greatest shift that's also what we're going through, right? From the wound, from the dark, from the shadow expressions to the more healthy expressions. Because as I read there, like co-creation and collaboration, like one of the healthy feminine traits, discernment and clarity in decision-making through that healthy masculine trait. Like basically the healthy masculine and feminine traits we just read there is like, that's the sort of groundedness of the new earth energy is what it makes me think, right? All of that wounded masculine and feminine is what we've been living through, not always, but perhaps under the surface. And that in all the different situations right now is what's being exposed, where all those sort of qualities woven into the systems, the governments, you know, the healthcare system, and how we being called again through this lens of this masculine feminine energies that exist within all of us to look at that and address it so that we can shift into that really healthy expression of every single human being, you know, and to have safe spaces for us to be without being controlled, because control is part of that wounded masculine. And then, you know, like the unhealthy enmeshment that we have through that wounded feminine and being victims in the wounded feminine, like everybody having an opportunity to be authentic and sovereign and, you know, have relationships where everyone is honored. It's, you know, it's a quite a journey to be able to make that shift, but it is our responsibility as those aware of these things to really look at ourselves and do that integration to bring those qualities within us into a balance and then hold that as an energy, hold it as a frequency, hold it as an example, because that's how we get, you know, make that shift. You know, it's to me, it just keeps coming down to it's a part of our responsibility as those aware of these things, those of us doing our inner work. This is how, I mean, it sort of seems probably grandiose to say that's how we change the collective, but it is. If we go on unconscious, nothing's going to change. The fact that we're conscious is means we have the opportunity to make the difference through the work that we do and the way that we treat ourselves and then the way that we're treating other people.
Yeah. And I think if we do the work, if we look at our, like, if we do look at what's coming up for us, we can find forgiveness for ourselves, for where we've played those, when we've exhibited those behaviors.
Yeah.
And then also, it also humanizes the people that we are witnessing, right? And so I think in order for us to heal in a collective, we have to get away from the villainization. Like we can look at people's behaviors and, or we can see that they are living in the unconscious, that they are living out the wound story. And so we can't, that's okay.
Sorry.
We are seeing that they are living out the wound story. And so we see the nuance. It's not black and white. It's not this person is good, this person is bad. It's this person is wounded. Yes, they need to be accountable for held accountable for their actions and their behavior, but we don't have to completely write them off as human beings. Like, you know, in our despite us having these two conversations about Aubrey Marcus and what he's doing, it's like I still hold the vision for him to become a better version of himself. I know that that's possible. And so there's no guarantee that he will, but we all have the potential to be better versions of ourselves, to heal, to release the dark energies that we all have within us through ancestral trauma and wounding and, you know, from society and things we experience in this lifetime. Like we all have those things in us. And I think that if we become to acceptance about that, if we, you know, because we're conditioned to judge the things, the shadow, we are conditioned to judge the shadow. And when we're able to look at the shadow without judgment, that's where we transform. That's where we transcend. And so I think that, you know, yeah, making sure that you're seeing that we are seeing them as a mirror and we are doing this work, we're using it as an opportunity. It really is. It's all, everything that we're seeing on the collective stage is an opportunity for us to see what comes up. And so, you know, I imagine there are people who, you know, I get, this triggers me, I'm not going to look at it. And maybe you're not ready to look at it, but I definitely invite you to start to pay attention to and do some inner work so you can be with it. You know, there might be different, extreme experiences why these are coming up, and maybe, you know, you have to go into it gently, but it really is the time is ripe to release these energies that we carry within us. And that's why these things are happening on such a rapid pace in the, you know, what we're seeing on the world stage, because this is a time of massive purge, those energies.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's like everyone out there on the TV, in the media, whoever keeps popping up regularly, like all the attributes within the people that we see that give us that deep trigger and that we want to judge and we want to hate on, they are truly our teachers. Like it honestly is. They're showing us something that we can look at within ourselves. And, you know, as you said, like the trigger, if we're willing to look at it, I think there's a Rumi quote that's like, the wound is where the light gets in or something like that, you know, and it's the only way to like remove the dark is you turn the light on or you put light on it. And I think I've said this before. That was one of the things that my spiritual teacher said at my awakening, is like, you know, evil things grow in the dark, Kate. And he kept saying to me, like, it's like a petri dish that's sitting in the dark. It's festering. It's growing. Like, bring it to the light. Bring it to the light. And, you know, that's exactly what it does. Once it's out in the light, like, that's the healing process. You know, and I've expressed many times, like, I'm a great one for wanting to avoid looking at the dark. But through, you know, working with you and you always wanting to tell me all these things that are going on, I look at them and it's changing my experience of myself, my life. Because otherwise I'm just in complete avoidance and denial. And that's not a full life, right? I'm denying that it exists. So therefore I actually hold that in my space and it continues to exist in my space. I just sort of like stick my head in the sand and pretend that it's not. So it's important for us to look at that stuff. And then as I even say that, I'm like, okay, so why do I avoid it? What do I need to see within myself when I turn to that? You know, because I don't think it's always going to be a wound that is why we don't want to see things. I think it can be just a very harsh rub of an inner value or a standard, but that's also important because then if it is that case, we can turn to that value and standard and say, well, am I really honoring it and embodying it to the highest of my ability? If I did, that's also us then being more and more authentic and aligned to our truth. So the dark really is this opportunity to bring us into greater alignment with what's real and true within us and who we're authentically meant to be. So the more that we do avoid that, you know, the more that we're sort of feeling a sense of limitation, when we're not there yet, there's more to my life than this. Well, perhaps it's looking at what else is going on and seeing how that is asking you to view what's within you in a new way. Wound, value, standard, quality, whatever it is, because that's ultimately the path of growth.
Yeah, I think that it can be a fine line to walk looking at the darkness, right? Because it can take us, it can throw off our sense of equilibrium, and there is some darkness out there, and much of what our world is made of, this current reality that we're living in, is built on a lot of darkness, and from my perspective. And it, part of the awakening process is us looking at that. How do we transform our world if we don't see what is underlying all of the current systems that are the structure, the matrix of our world? And so I think that right now, where it's been energetically easier to do that, we have better tools to support ourselves through that process of seeing things, and maybe we don't want to go all the way into the deep darkness that there is, but little by little, we start to, you know, I think as we've talked about before, awakening is this gradual process. And I think if we did it all at once, it would be a really big shock to the system. And I do, unfortunately, think that for those that have not been looking at, have been completely like, not, I'm not saying this is you. I'm saying like people think like, oh, the world is fine. We can just keep going as it is. And, you know, 2020 was, there was nothing wrong with what happened there. I think more and more is going to happen. It's like more and more is going to happen to get people to start opening their eyes, because that's, and so until people are fully awake or are willing to look at it more, it's going to get worse and worse from a, like from, it's going to seem worse and worse what's being revealed, because we have to look at it in order to heal it. As you said, like bring it in, bring the light onto it. Otherwise, our world is going to persist as it is. And, you know, if we think about it from a theoretical perspective, we are moving towards a new earth, but we don't get there without purging what's existed for thousands of years here. And so, well, I'll say all in our own time, but I think we're being nudged along faster than maybe we want to be nudged along.
Yeah, exactly. It does feel a bit more like just put your seatbelt on, really. And I mean, it's, and in that, it's like, it's, I just want to open my hands a bit more, you know, like, because when things get bumpy, you want to grip on. And I think that's what makes it hard. So can we like loosen the grip on the safety harness that comes over the top, and maybe dare to take our hands off and just show up for what is here, asking to be seen again and again and again. And I want to say to remember that the fact that you're here, your soul wanted to be here for all of this. You know, that's one of the biggest spiritual takeaways, I think, that is really important for each and every one of us to ground into our awareness with like a certainty, is our souls chose this time. It chose to be here to witness and endure and experience this. So it's not a fluke. You're not here to suffer through it. You're not here to just, you know, feel awful all the time. You are here to witness, to grow, to heal. There's an important reason for your soul's evolution for you to be here and experience this very time. You know, it's different for all of us in what that real, the deeper reason is. We can start to sense that, and I think many of us do. We know innately, maybe it's just to, you know, have these certain roles, maybe it's outwardly or inwardly, but, you know, we're meant to be here. We're meant to be part of this process.
Yep, our souls chose this. No, we're meant to purge the darkness that our hand was dealt, right? We've all been dealt a hand, and we all have things that we carry energetically in our bodies. And we all have, I mean, some of us more so than others, obviously, we're here to grow in whatever way our souls decided that we're here to grow. And it's going to look different for different people. I know that for myself, the gene keys have been quite illuminating in terms of understanding all of the seemingly random life experiences that I've had, but it's been cool to make sense of them, see the threads that weave through, and see that, maybe, you know, I was reflecting today about how I have looked at a lot of darkness, and I've learned to be able to see it. And I've also learned that I can't just go sharing this darkness with people, because the people specifically in my household, they don't want to hear any of that. And so I have to respect their boundaries, and that doesn't mean that I'm sure I influence in some way, but I just don't share all that I know on a platter for them to know about how the world works from my perspective, because their design does not
like mm-hmm. that. So
yeah, exactly. We don't want to scour anybody too soon. And we all mm-hmm. come to these things in our own timing. And I think it's also our level of growth, you know, and I have definitely experienced that through, you know, our friendship and our connection. And it's just our growth edges, right? Like, are we willing to put our hands on those edges and like push it, you know? And it's just uncomfortable, but it doesn't mean that it's bad. And I think that's one of the big lessons for me is like, you know, it's okay to be in the discomfort of looking at things, because it's uncomfortable until you understand it or you have a different perspective on it. So it's like, it's just broadening our awareness, you know, growing our consciousness, expanding our consciousness around things to be able to hold more of this experience. And then as you were saying that too, I really got this vision of like this wave of souls that have come here to be like the big farm tractor that has the road, like the thing at the front that tills the soil. It's almost like that's what we're here doing in this particular time period, is like we're bringing up the stuff that just shouldn't be in there. And we're like fertilizing the soil with that. We're like, we're really tilling the soil here for, you know, the new to be planted. And that's part of this purge, is like bringing it up, turning it into something else so that it can be like nutrition for the soil that's coming, that we're turning over, like we're turning it over to really, you know, get the weeds out, get the rocks out, get the old stuff that doesn't help new life to grow. Like that's part of our spiritual role, is this see it, heal it, transmute it. It's just like, that's what I can feel like this journey of like, oh my God, like what's happening to the world? It's because we're in this kind of, you know, process of really making way before we can see what it is we're making way for. And I think that's one of the hard parts, is like we don't really know what's coming, but we're in this like just turn it over, turn it over, turn it over. We have to trust deeply in that.
Yeah, there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
You see?
Sneeze.
Yeah. And that's what, like, I can see the darkness because I trust that there's light at the end of the tunnel, that I trust that where we're going is a better place. And if I thought that this was it, if that this is our eternity, that there's no improving the circumstances of what exists currently, I don't think I could, I don't think I wouldn't be hopeful, number one.
Yeah. And
I think that hope is what motivates us to do our own personal work, to have these conversations, to become better versions of ourselves, because there is hope that we're moving to a place where the systems that currently exist are crumbling, going to be rebuilt in a different form. In what I would say, bringing this back to Justin Baldoni and Blake Lively, like Justin Baldoni is more of the model of where we're going. Someone who has more of a balanced masculine, feminine energies to them, right? That's willing to be reflective, to look internally, like to be a humble human being, not be a dominating masculine of the old. And so also to see like the wounded feminine try to take that down, where someone is trying to step into that energy, and then for that to be exposed in that circumstance, like it's almost cosmic justice in a way but also I wonder like how many sensitive men have also been harmed from these older, heavier, denser energies.
Yeah.
And so bringing this to the surface, it's teaching the collective like, nope, this is not how we're operating and where we're going. Like we're moving away from this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the sort of age old battle of light and dark, right? Like how as light wants to grow, the dark wants to suppress the light, right? Like it's again, another metaphor for what we are going through right now. The more that we kind of bring the light to things, the more that darkness wants to kind of like, you know, fight back. And this is sort of part of that tilling of the soil that we're doing. We're doing this like, you know, back and forth, that the more we can shine the light on it, the more we can see more things we have to that are in the dark, because they're going to keep trying to maintain the power and the control. And that's part of this, what's playing out in this situation is, you know, metaphorically through these people, through these archetypes, through these energies, we're sort of seeing it through that lens and how it's part of what we're here to see and experience and and heal through and grow through.
Yeah. No, I think this has been a good conversation about, yeah, I'd like to have more conversations like this where we bring in what's happening and how can we use it as a teacher for us. And I think that we don't have to, can we look at it without being pulled into the energy, into the drama? Like, because I think that's what a lot of people associate like celebrity gossip with. It's like lower energy, right? But it's, using it as a teaching experience. I think that I'd like to do more episodes like this where we are looking at what's happening on a larger scale and we can use it as good teaching material for us.
Fuel for growth.
Exactly.
So we invite anyone to bring us your comments, feedback, your experiences with the wounded feminine and masculine energies, the healthy as well. And no one else to say.
Or anything else that came up for you through this process of listening to this podcast. And has it changed how you look, are thinking about something like this? Maybe you just dismissed it, but now you're seeing that, it's actually here for us to grow with. So
welcome all of your feedback and your comments. Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you, Kate.
And thank you everyone for listening. We'll join you in the next episode. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. If you haven't already, please do subscribe to your favorite podcast platform or to our YouTube channel so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. Be sure to head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, for the resources mentioned in this episode. Here you can also leave your questions, comments, or feedback so we can create more episodes that you love. And if you'd like to be a guest to share your own awakening journey with our listeners, or you have a business or offering that supports others going through their awakenings, head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, click on Be a Guest, and we'll be in touch. Until next time, take care.